Praise the Lord. This morning, would you turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 5, and we're going to go into chapter 6, just a few scriptures. These verses came before me yesterday in the during the prayer meeting, and the Lord just continued to bring this conviction on my heart and just to meditate on it. And I just pray the Lord give us something this morning that would encourage us, because it's important to know who we are in Christ and to know the power that is in Christ. We sang there's power in the name of Jesus, and I agree with the sister that we don't even know a fraction of what it is. Praise God. And I just say, Lord, would you help us this morning as we explore your word? And the 13th verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Joshua. And before I read, let me just a little background. Israelites had gone past through Jordan, and through a miraculous hand of God, along with the other miraculous hand of going through the Red Sea, but now they're past Jordan, and they're at a point where to start their journey to conquer the Canaan land, the promised land. And here in the 13th verse we find, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And I want to stop the reading right here. Joshua was contemplating what move to make now that they had gotten to this point to take the land. And he knew the story. He was there when they went initially, the spies went out and saw the walled cities. And this was an impenetrable city. But God said, and this was Jesus that appeared unto him. Because if it was an angel, the angel wouldn't have allowed him to worship. It was Jesus that appeared unto him. And he said, take your shoes off. You remember Moses had a similar experience in the burning bush. Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Well, here Joshua has a similar experience where Jesus appears to him and said, I am captain of the Lord's host. That's why I'm come. And he says, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And we, if lacking faith, would say, I see an impenetrable city. I see a great walled city. The outer wall is 6 feet thick, 25 feet high. There's a space between that and the inner wall, which is 15 feet. And then there's another wall that's 12 feet thick and 25 feet high. And the doors are bolted shut and there's no way in. And God said, I've given Jericho into thine hand. A test of their faith. Amen? A challenge to their faith. Something to see with the eye of faith, not with the physical eye, what he was describing. And we see Israel's history going to the Red Sea. They were surrounded. The Egyptians were following them. There was mountains to the right and left. There was only one way forward, and that was through the Red Sea. And they complained to God. You remember the story. We just had this a few weeks ago, several weeks ago. They complained to God. And God said, tell them, go forward. Until they took that action by faith, go forward. And then the sea parted and they crossed over on dry ground. When they got to the Jordan River, overflowed its banks the whole time. What were they going to do? And God told them, the priest that bear the Ark of the Covenant, tell them to step into the water. Step into the water. And when they stepped into the water, the waters parted and separated, and they went through. Praise God. And now he's telling them, see, I've given Jericho into thine hand. Oh, praise the Lord. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus said in Mark, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Are those idle words? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In Philippians, Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Has he not done a good work in us? Praise God. We're not perfect. We're not where we need to be, but we're not where we've been. Amen? Praise God. Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, help us this morning. In John, the parable that Jesus spoke about the vine and the branches, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Oh, how true those words are. Praise God. In Romans, I love Romans, the 8th chapter. We are more than conquerors. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? Let that sink in a minute. We are more than conquerors. Through what? Through Christ. More over and above. More than conquerors. We are not defeated. But we have victory in Jesus. There is power. We sing there is power in the name of Jesus. It's not a formula. It's not something anyone can walk off the street and mention the name of Jesus. It won't work. Because of relationship, there is power in the name of Jesus. And because of that relationship, that power is transferred to us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Who are we in Christ Jesus? I love what the scriptures say. In Ephesians, you know, sometimes, jokingly, I tell my wife, we pull up to a restaurant and there's people standing outside. I hate waiting. Don't you hate waiting? And there's a crowd outside and it's hard to get in. And I tell her, I said, now, honey, you go in there and tell them who you are. Like that's going to make a difference. But we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. And Paul in Ephesians, let me just rehearse a few scriptures with you. He says, the 17th verse of the first chapter, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. This is his prayer for the church, a prayer for all of us, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's who we are. The body of Christ, we have dominion. Dominion. Praise God, through Christ. Not to go out and say, well, we're going to kick the devil around. That's not the attitude. Oh, no. But we have dominion, praise God, because of what Christ has done. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. In Colossians, he writes, for this cause, since we day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might fill with the knowledge of his will and all his wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness. Church, that's what God desires for us this morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. In Hebrews, you see, we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavenlies. We're not here orphans, but praise God, we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it's a seeing then we have this great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, praise the Lord. In Peter, he writes, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, which, but you are a chosen generation, rather, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, where in time past you were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, Lord, help us to remind us who we are in Christ. When Jesus told Joshua, see, I have given you in thine hand Jericho, and the king and all the mighty men of valor. It's done. It's done. Now he tells them, he goes on, if you read, how to do it. He goes on and gives them instructions what to do, but they didn't know what to expect. They followed blindly what God said. And sometimes we have to follow blindly by faith. What does God want from us? We're praying. We're trusting God. We're believing God for deliverance. We're believing God for a situation. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray for the situation. What to say to God? Like God needs our intelligence. Like God needs our counsel and instruction. No, he doesn't need that. All he needs is to know that we're placing it before him. Lord, here's the situation. I don't know what to do, but I know you do. Praise God. Would you take care of this, oh God, and believe in faith? Oh, if we could only pray in faith. See, I've given in thine hand Jericho. Where does desperation intersect with our faith. Right there. Joshua experienced it right there. Oh, praise the Lord. It's done. It's done. And you notice Joshua, if you read on, he didn't challenge. He didn't say, well, I don't understand. He just listened and followed. And what does God want us to do? Trust and obey. We sing that song rarely. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's to trust and obey. Lord, what do you want? Sometimes we get discouraged. I understand that. I battle that as much as any of you do, I'm sure. We get discouraged. What's happening? Lord, we're praying. Lord, we're trusting. And God says, see, I've already given them into your hand. I've already delivered. The answer hasn't arrived yet, but it's coming. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love when Daniel prayed and the angel came and said, you know, Daniel, the day you prayed, God sent me with a message of deliverance for you, but I was hindered by the enemy 21 days ago, but Daniel kept praying. He didn't stop after a week. After 2 weeks, he kept praying and trusting God. And God says, now, God's heard your prayer. What are you praying for this morning? What's your Jericho? What is your Jericho this morning? What is the thing you're willing to circle and keep praying and trusting God? You know, in the instructions, he tells him, he tells him instructions to circle seven times, one time a day for 6 days, on the seventh day, seven times. And this word seven keeps coming up. It's the number of completion in the Bible that we find. I don't want to get into, you know, a lot of people say this, but it's true, the number of completion. And it says in the scriptures that God created the world in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. The seven churches of Revelation represent all the churches. As Revelation continues, the seven seals are open, the seven trumpets sound, the seven bowls are poured out, all indicating the completion of God's work. God was telling Joshua, follow my instructions implicitly, completely, if you want victory, praise God. Keep praying until change comes. That's when the work is complete. What's God's timetable? We don't know. But God has a timetable. He knows when everything is perfect, but we got to trust and say, oh, Lord, we believe. Praise God. Oh, if we would just pray and say, Lord, it's done. I believe it. I'm trusting you, Lord. I believe it. I don't see it. I don't even see a crumb fall off the table, but Lord, I believe it's going to happen. Praise God. When we pray for healing, well, God doesn't heal cancer. Someone once said months, years ago, you know, God doesn't give you cancer if he's going to heal you. Now, that's unbelief. Absolute unbelief. Brother Ron, how do you know when people come up to get prayed for? How do you know it's God's will to heal them? Well, I don't. But I believe this. I believe it is God's will to do something. And if I'm just going to believe God's going to heal him. I'm just going to trust that God's going to heal him. Praise God. There's no other option. If God's not going to heal him, I know sometimes it's not in his will that we get healed. I prayed for my arm and people prayed. The church prayed. I wouldn't lose my arm, but my arm is gone. I guarantee you it's gone. But it was God's will. But God gave me the grace. God did something in that situation. The world would say, well, you lost your arm. The prayers didn't work, did it? No, they worked. They worked. It was God's will I lose my arm. But the prayers worked, praise God, because the Lord sustained me. I'm here today preaching the word of God, trusting in him, more determined, more assured than ever that he is Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe God's going to heal that cancer. I'm going to believe God's going to heal that heart. How would you like to think, well, Brother Ron, I wonder if he believes I'm going to get healed. I don't know if I'm, what kind of ministers would we be if us brothers came forward and said, well, we're praying, but no, we believe. We believe and we leave it in God's hands. Lord, it's your will, but we're going to believe for healing. We're going to believe for deliverance. We're going to believe for that lost son and that lost daughter, that lost granddaughter to come back. Oh, praise God. God's telling us, remind us who we are. Remind us of what power there is in the name of Jesus. Remind us of what the power is in that Holy Spirit that He's placed within us. Praise God. How can I live the life? How can I please God? How is it possible? I had a drug addict. I had an addiction addict. I smoked or whatever the case may be. How can I ever, you know how? Through the power of Jesus Christ, amen, He is able. My sister's testimony just touched me so deeply. It says something got lifted, taken off of me. And that's how quickly it comes. This, you know, the unbeliever would look and say, well, you people like to make yourself feel good. No, we're telling you reality. This is truth. This is facts. This is what happened. I was there. This is what happened. I didn't make this up. Not a story. It's evidence. And He is real. Praise God. And He is powerful. And only if we... all things are possible to him that what? Believes. Do you believe this morning? God is for us. I'm going to say it again. God is for us. God is for us. When you think that he gave his only son to die on the cross, that he shed his blood for sinful you and me. Oh my God, he is for us this morning. Does he want to see us fail? Absolutely not. Does he see us, want to see us in hell? No. Hell was not created for his creation. Oh Lord, help us this morning to believe has put all things under his feet. We have dominion. We fly with no power over the enemy. Oh, he's running amok. He's tearing up the schools. He's doing all kind of things. He's drawing our kids away. He's doing this and he's doing that. Bringing division in the church, trying to silence the power of God, trying to silence the praise and worship. He's doing a brother and sister, we have power in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. We got exercise in that power. It's not a passive walk. Sit on the pew and that's it. No, it's active. We got to get engaged and get involved. Take it to prayer. Pray. Trust God. Well, is that all we can do? That's the best thing we can do. Amen. It's not all we can do. It's the worst thing that Satan wants to see. Why is it so hard to pray? Why is it so hard to find time to pray? Because the enemy wants to keep you from praying. Distraction, the phone, the schedule. I got to do this. The phone rings. The television's on. I don't have time to pray. I find praying time when I used to drive to work, when I was in the car. I find time praying when I'm mowing the grass. You can't do anything except try and follow the two lines. You know, that's about all you can do. And my mind is on the Lord. Lord, would you work? Lord, baptize. Lord, would you touch? Would you reach my granddaughters? Lord, would you help my family? Lord, would you bless the church? Lord, there's church, there's souls that need to be restored and revived. Lord, would you have your way? I love in the scriptures we didn't read, they blew the ram's horns. There were two kind of horns that they used. The common one, the trumpet, was a shofar. And the ram's horn was a jobal, which is the root of the word jubilee, the year of jubilee, if you understand what that is. And you read in, I think it's Deuteronomy or Joshua, Deuteronomy, I think, it's the 50th year, a year of celebration. And they blew the ram's horns during that celebration to proclaim liberty throughout the land. And those who had committed crimes were forgiven. And there's all kind of, I don't want to get in all the details, but the year of Jubilee. It wasn't the silver trumpets that they used because Israel was not declaring war on Jericho. There was no war. It was announcing the arrival of the year of Jubilee, a celebration of the Lord, praise God, for Israel is in their new land. It was a celebration, praise God. That's why the Ark of the Covenant went before them. The presence of the Lord went before them in victory, praise God. And you read the history in Joshua, how when they were so obedient to God, they walked around 7 days. And all that time, the Lord says, be silent, don't say a word. Can you imagine how difficult that was to walk around that city? And I'm sure the men inside the city and women were mocking them. Look at these foolish Israelites. Look what they're doing. They're blowing horns. How come they're not attacking? What fools? You ever been in a situation when you wanted to speak out? You wanted to blast somebody? You wanted to really say, oh yeah, we'll see about that. You know, you wanted to do that. I'm sure they had that emotion. But they were obedient until the 7th day and the 7th time they circled the city and they blew the ram's horns and shouted. And the walls came down. 12-foot thick walls, 6-foot thick walls. Did an earthquake hit that city? I don't know. God did it. God did it. See, I've given into thine hand Jericho and all the mighty men of Valor and the king. Oh Lord, would you help us this morning? Lord, take us away from timid prayers. Take us away from timid prayers. God is not offended when we ask big. In fact, I believe God is honored to think that we consider him to have the power to do those things that we ask him that seem impossible to mankind. Oh, praise the Lord. Timid prayers because of lack of faith. Well, I don't want to go too far out on a limb. I know I want God to heal him. I want God to deliver my husband. I want God to change my children. I want God to do this, but I don't want to be disappointed. See, the enemy has just put a string of faith of doubt in your mind. It's just, I know it would be wonderful if it happened, but I just don't know if it would happen. And I pray, Lord, would you remind us of who we are in Christ Jesus? Remind us of what you died for. Remind us, praise God. I want to read that in Hebrews again, if I could, or in Peter rather. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, our purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. a chosen generation. You're not here by accident. You're not here, but I just happened to know somebody who knew somebody and invited me to church. You're not here because of that. I just married somebody that came to this church, and what do you know? I find myself here. No, that was God's plan. Everything that happens is God's plan. There's a perfect plan, and there's a plan that God allows because we don't obey at times. But you know what? He never gives up on us. He keeps coming after us and coming after. Don't you love that this morning? Oh, praise God. If the Lord should have given up on me, he probably should have given up on you too, if we're being honest with each other and saying, Lord, you know, you've been so merciful. And I still fail you at times. I still, with my best intentions and every effort I make, I still come short. But you see, God is in the perfecting business. Brother Steve had a message, I believe some while ago, a few weeks ago, about the potter and the wheel. I believe it was. I think it was Brother Steve. And the potter saw it was marred in his hand, and he put it back on the wheel, and he made it over again. And God told the prophet, he says, can I not do this with Israel, prefiguring the new covenant? Can I not do it with my Creator? Can I not do it with them? Make us over again. Oh Lord, mold us and make us this morning. I don't want to take time. There is in Luke, I'll just refer to it briefly because it illustrates the point. In Luke's gospel, Jesus gives the example of, I'll just read a part of it. And I say unto you, which of you have a friend shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Importunity. Another description of that word is shameless audacity. Shameless audacity. Because he keeps asking. He keeps going before his friend. And why Jesus is encouraging us in this parable, he says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Oh my God. Shameless audacity. Praise the Lord. And you that are seeking the Holy Ghost, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise the Lord. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. I mentioned the, I don't know what they call it, but the push, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. What's your Jericho this morning? What's your Jericho? A closer walk, see your family saved in church, praising Jesus, to see your husband and son, our wife return, to see your children return, to see your grandchildren return. What's your Jericho this morning? I want to tell you, I just feel so encouraged by the Holy Spirit. See, spiritual vision, see, I have given Jericho into thine hand. See. Believe it. Believe it. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us this morning. Isn't the Lord good? I'm going to stop right here. Holy Spirit, strengthen us. Encourage us this morning. May the Lord give you spiritual vision and cause you to be more determined. That we don't have to be pushed around and beat around. Oh, I know things come in our lives. Unexpected things the Lord allows. I understand that. But with those things, there's a faith that transcends, a faith in Christ. Lord, we prove the word, everything that happens, Romans 8, I can't quote it right now. Hold on a second. All things work together for good. All things work together. Sometimes that's hard to see. I understand that. We've all struggled with that. But that's momentary. That's the enemy attacking us. That's the enemy saying, oh, you're praying to God. You're trusting Lord. You go to church. You're believing for God. You've been doing the best you can. And look what God allows. Momentary. Momentary. Because the Holy Spirit within you begins to rise up and begins to speak to you and begins to say, hold on. What's that Sam and Dave song? Hold on, I'm coming. I don't know why I have some of these dumb things I remember, but hold on, I'm coming. I've not left you. I know the enemy attacked, but I'm with you. Oh, praise God. Let's keep believing. Let's trust God. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?